Some things leave you guessing, like, why are yawns contagious? But not MailChimp. MailChimp eliminates guesswork from email marketing by analyzing data from billions of emails to offer up personalized recommendations for how to improve your email content and targeting. Guess less and sell more with Intuit MailChimp.
This is Steve Allen's A Little Bit Extra, leading Britain's conversation. You're listening to our podcast of Steve Allen.
Morning, everybody. Welcome along to your free podcast for today, Monday, September the 26th. Goodness me, what has been happening? Well, apparently, if you believe the Sunday papers, Harry, ex of this parish, is trying to make adjustments to the book to cease embarrassing everybody in the royal family, because her and the wife can't stand the royal family and yet enjoy the privileges that it has afforded them, you know, like £100 million. If he was just drunk old Harry, nobody would give him threepence. But they give him all this money, but of course, not being the brightest penny in the box, he hasn't quite worked it out that this book is going to seal his fate never again. You know, hopefully they'll take away Frogmore Cottage from him. And he can stay in America and go and play polo for the rest of his life, because that's where he's basically become a bit of a useless appendage. There's nothing really you can do with him. He does his little, oh yeah, we should all try and save the planet, and then takes a private jet, you know, and Meghan and me, we're holding hands because we're 12 and all this kind of stuff. She's achieved what she wants to. Now, whether or not she keeps him, God alone knows. Meanwhile, Ant and Dec have given a glimpse of their life in South Africa while filming Arm a Celebrity spin-off. It's called You Just Do Nothing. You just stand around. People will organise it all. And, of course, South Africa's in the news again today. You know why? Because some woman went swimming and a great white shark took her. And, unfortunately, great white sharks, in fact, they're fairly rare because, unfortunately, they aren't the brightest creatures in the sea. If somebody's wearing a swimsuit, like a black all-in-one diving suit, they're liable to take them because they think it's a seal. And if they see somebody on a surfboard, she wasn't on a surfboard. She'd just sort of driven all these miles out there. And it was fairly shallow. The thing came up, took a big chunk out of her. Bit of a surprise, as you can imagine. They've got 300 teeth in their mouth. She wasn't. She was South African. I believe she was South African. And then the great white came back for more. So unfortunately, by that time, she'd lost it. And they sort of pulled what was left of her to shore. But it was obviously too late. I mean, to be honest with you, it's a bit dangerous swimming in seas where you know there are great white sharks or sharks full stop. You know, you wouldn't catch them. That's why they have hotel swimming pools. I know it's lovely to go swimming in the sea, but it's, you know, and I know that they're not particularly common shark attacks, but, you know, it's just the fact that there is a risk of somebody being attacked. It's not so great. Anyway, so Ant and Dec are out there, and basically they're just sort of posing for sort of pictures before they go on to it. This is the one which has got these celebrities on, isn't it? Well, this is like the best of the best, and a right dreary bunch it is too, but never mind, doesn't matter. Robert De Niro, honoured by Meryl Streep and others at a Celebration of Film gala in Austin, Texas. He's looking good for his age, actually. He's 79. Meryl Streep is 73. It looks very good. She was in Mamma Mia, wasn't she? I quite liked Trinidad. Rihanna fans go wild as they react to the news that the singer will be headlining the Super Bowl halftime show. Can't believe it. What woman sings at halftime? No. You've got to get a breast out, Rihanna. I mean, it's too exciting, isn't it? The fans have gone wild. Like, oh, what's that with them? That's quite normal, actually. She shared a photo and apparently Let's Go, the NFL tweeted. She had 700,000 likes in 20 minutes. Who cares? It's a bit of entertainment. You might as well have brought on Coco the Clown blowing bubbles. You know, just as exciting, I'm afraid. Oh, I'll tell you what you will have to read, Alan Rickman's secret journals. They're apparently going to be a bit explosive. A friend of mine was reading them to me yesterday. And, yes, there's all bits online. He was reading me the bits of who he didn't like in Harry Potter. Wasn't a fan of Harry Potter. He said he wasn't an actor. He said he was a producer. So, I mean, it's 6 years since he passed over. He was Severus Snape. I was never a big fan of the Harry Potter films. I watched them, but I couldn't say I got excited. He was very good, very good. But it'll be quite interesting to see what he says about loads of other people. We went yesterday. You know, I go out for breakfast, or it could be brunch, every Sunday. And then yesterday, because we were up the road, we went to the Wallace Collection. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to the Wallace Collection. It's just behind Selfridges. It was the family's storehouse in London. Now, this is where the story gets in. If you go in there, you will see, I think it is the third biggest gallery in Europe. Bigger than the Louvre, bigger than Buckingham Palace. It has got, you can go right up to the pictures. There's no rails or anything. You can go right up to Canaletto's. You can go right up to every set. They've got the most amazing pictures in there. And there's room upon room upon room upon room upon room of armour. You know, genuine armour from the 1400s and the 1100s. They've got a room full of Canaletto's. But then there's the School of Canaletto, which you can tell they're not as good. When you look at the Canalettos, you go right up to it and you can look at the little figures. You could identify these people on the streets. It's really quite something to see. And there's places for you to sit down and they've got a very good cafe and restaurant. What I wanted to know is, who were the Wallace family? Who were they? How did they amass their money? And where are the members now? It's very interesting. When you look at the list of sponsors, there's all sorts of people who sponsor, from the Sainsbury's to everybody, keep this split. And it is the most amazing collection of art. But you try and find out something about the Wallace family and you'll come up against a brick wall. Where did they make their money? Are there any members of the royal family? We apparently own the Wallace collection. It's owned by the nation. It's a bit like, you know, the Queen's stuff. And we were looking at it, trying to find out more. Mr. Wallace, what he did for a living, we have no idea. Now, when you look at the billions of pounds worth of stuff on their walls, you have to see it to believe it, to realise just how much stuff they've got. Where did the money come from? I mean, it really is. We tried. I went into the gift shop, because they've got a little gift shop there, and I did ask the girls behind the counter, have you got a book on the Wallace family? And so she looked blankly at me and went, no, there's a little bit inside this book. And you think, wait, what's going on here? Who were the Wallace family? Where did they get this money to afford this art? And apparently in 1900, they gifted it to the nation. But there's no mention of what Mr. Wallace did for a living. We have no idea. I had a few words that wandered through my mind because they've said, no, it wasn't that. And you think, but so where did his money come from? Where did he amass this amount of money? If you saw the actual house the Wallace collection is in, the house alone must be worth 50, 70, 100 million. Easy. And every single room is covered with pictures. I mean, as I say, literally, Canaletto after Canaletto after Canaletto. It's quite something to see, but where did it come from? Where did the money come from to run this house? Apparently, it takes in about 2 million a year. So it's very, very successful. But I wanted to know more about the family, how he got money, where it came from. Is it inherited money? Was he titled? You know, did the family line die out? All these sort of questions you don't get answered. Nobody seems to know. It's all a bit bizarre and peculiar. We were sort of reminiscing on it the other night. I missed the start of Strictly, which actually doesn't make a difference to me because, you know, for the first bits of it, it'll be a bit naff. But Tess and Claudia have reminisced on their personal and professional lives. Well, Tess, of course, couldn't keep her hands on her husband, and now that's all fine now. And they've celebrated the 20th birthday, and they've got memorable moments in the show. Although, the first live show ratings dropped by more than 1 million on last year. But everything is becoming diluted. Everything is diluted now. I think the first show was watched by 7.9 million. Now it's 7.2 million, so we are down quite a lot, but it doesn't really matter, actually, because it'll probably pick up when they get some excitement, like they kick out people on it. But apart from that, it doesn't really make any difference. It's a nice show to watch. People want to watch dancers. And who's going to win? Who cares? It's just a show. They get paid money for it. If they get kicked out, they don't earn as much money. They have to do the first couple of weeks or something to gain the extra £40,000. And then you can earn money by going on tour. And then you have to go back to that place called Obscurity, which is where there is no work, because it's very difficult. And then hope that maybe somebody picks you up for pantomime.
Some things leave you guessing. Like, why are yawns contagious? But not MailChimp. MailChimp eliminates guesswork from email marketing by analysing data from billions of emails to offer up personalised recommendations for how to improve your email content and targeting. Guess less and sell more with Intuit MailChimp.
Cate Blanchett was at the Sustainable Fashion Awards, held in Milan, because when you think of fashion, you think Milan. I don't. I think Brentwood in Essex. I don't know why. But she looked very glamorous. And Bradley Cooper is a hands-on father, attending the History Talks event with his daughter, who's a little cutie. She's called Leah, and she was five. And they look very, very happy. Very happy. But, you know, he's just another celebrity. I don't think these people see themselves as celebrities. They just go out there and they do what they want to do. And they just sometimes get pictured, and then other times they don't get pictured. And then other times they get more and more pictured. And some of the people on Strictly Come Dancing, you think, how did they ever get in there in the first place? Seriously, I've got no idea. No, I don't even know who some of them are. But I imagine I watch a mash-up programme. That was there's another word I thought of apart from mash-up. It was absolutely ghastly. Absolutely ghastly. Aaron Carter gets a visit from the police after worried fans asked for a check over the troubling online behaviour. They worried that he might be doing drugs off camera. And there's a picture of him. I don't know enough about him, actually. But he might have been huffing. He admitted having a huffing addiction. I don't even know what huffing is. I'm obviously really not very good at things. I'll have to check with the producer in a minute. He might know what it is. He's well up on the young people's jargon. Les Dennis is joining the West End show, Only Fools and Horses the Musical. He's set to play Grandad. And couldn't have gone to a better person, actually. He'll do very well. And he'll look lovely. He's played all sorts of parts, actually. He's been an HMS Pinafore. And as Grandad, he looks good. When you think where he came from, you know, he's done remarkably well. So well done to him. Catherine Zeta-Jones celebrated her joint birthday with husband Michael Douglas in Sardinia. And they had a lovely meal together, which was delightful. So they're very good. I remember Catherine Zeta-Jones very well. Charlie Brooks reveals she's leaving EastEnders just 18 months following her return to the soap. I wonder why that is. I mean, she's been on-off since about 1999, with the departure coming just 18 months after return to the soap. And I suppose once they've sort of got it, then they see if there's any other work out there. And if there isn't, they'll have to go back in again. So that's it. I mean, she was evil, wasn't she, I think? Jesting that Janine shouldn't outstay her welcome, because most of these people are mad as buckets and they firmly believe that the character's real, as opposed to it's somebody pretending to be that part. Jeremy Clarkson has launched his own brand of lagers. He enjoys a tipple at the Hawkstone Brewery. And the event was exclusive to member of Hawkstone's monthly subscription service and sold out within hours. So there you go. You see, everybody loves him except the people who live around him. And they're just a bunch of meanies. They're the sort of people who sort of say, oh, you shouldn't have this, you shouldn't have that. I was listening to some bloke, actually, at the end of Andrew Castle's show the other day. I couldn't tell you his name. It was of no interest. He sounded very ancient and past it. And I found it most interesting, the fact that he was so miserable. Everything was ghastly. Everything was falling apart. The schools, the NHS, you know, the government, he hated everything. And I thought, what a miserable life. What a very sad, sad, lonely person he must be. A little bit like, I suppose, those people who didn't like Jeremy Clarkson opening up his restaurant, and the local didn't like it, and the local council didn't like it either. But he's extremely successful. Extremely successful. And they should be very grateful. He's bringing work into the area. Oh, they unmasked the latest masked dancer, and it was Gareth Malone. He was unveiled as Cactus, because the judging panel, Jonathan Ross, who's looking very old, really. Oti Mabuse, Davina McCall and Peter Crouch decided it was time for Cactus to give up the disguise. And so it was him. The panel weren't sure if it was a McFly or Busted band member. And then it was Gareth. He said, the last time I danced, I was seven. And I danced with a broom. And bless his heart. I mean, he's, you know, as you would go out there. And he did very well indeed. He did very, very well. I mean, personally, it wouldn't be my sort of thing at all. Jonathan Ross wearing sort of outfits which are maybe geared for a much younger person. And then I watched, it might have been an old person, it was well-known bully boy, Gordon Ramsay, at the Dorchester, basically using the F word quite liberally. Must be ghastly being, you know, in that family for them, because that's all he does. He just swears and abuses people, even in the kitchen, you know, and you think to yourself, you feel like turning around to him and saying, I tell you what, stick your job up your rear end, OK, and we'll go somewhere else. Because I've never known anything like it. He's just so rude, you know. They have his restaurant nightmares. The nightmare is him in the restaurant, you know, sending all the food back, because it's garbage and it's this and that. And you think to yourself, you've made a name for yourself just being a bully boy. Long may it continue, I suppose, in your own dreary little world. So the police in Lancaster, California, I've saved this one for the police, on Aaron Carter. He might have been huffing. Aaron. Well, I'm calling him Aaron, so there you go. I feel more biblical. He has previously admitted having a huffing addiction. What's that? What's huffing? I don't know. I thought maybe puffing, but because his fans called the police because he was tweeting about some odd stuff on online. And, there we go. It's a substance thing. It's a substance thing. And the long-term effects of huffing, and it can be anything, really. Paint thinner, nail polish remover, amyl nitrate, lighter fuel, gruel, yeah. But apparently they're sniffed or huffed, the act of inhaling vapours. Oh, there you go. Can kill a person by heart attack or suffocation. And long-term effects can permanently damage the body and the brain. Why would you want to sniff cleaning fluid or aerosol sprays or things like that? Bizarre, isn't it? Well, that's what he's got. He's admitted that he's got a huffing addiction, or he had a huffing addiction. But the fans called the police the other day because they were slightly worried about his behaviour away from online. I don't know, the stuff that goes on, boys and girls. You can't believe it, can you, really? You really can't believe it. You think to yourself, it's a little bit of a worry, really, that people get involved with this kind of thing, and it could ultimately kill them. We've seen more and more young people die through drugs. River Phoenix, classic example, you know, drugs. And you think, there's no happy end to drugs. The end result is death. Death. Although I was watching a programme on the television the other day, they went out to Peru to watch the people out there who are so poor, their only family income is coca. Cocaine. That's what they make. They make cocaine.
Sell your car the motorway way, where dealers compete to give you their best price.
Oh, dealers compete?
Hello from the Car Dealers Diving Championships. Dealer 31's bid, £13,800. Dealer 265, £14,000. Dealer 99, £14,300.
I got £14,300. No way.
Yes way. Motorway, the way to sell your car.
T's and C's apply. Visit motorway.co.uk.
And so they went and they were shown the fields where the people had sort of picked all the leaves off and then they're turning them with their feet. And they said, I forget the bloke was, Simon somebody. And he said, why are they doing that? He said, but they have to dry out completely. If they don't dry out completely, you can't use them. So they dry out to the point of then they put them, mash them all up and everything else. And so something that's worth $75 to them, and this can be more than 2 weeks' work, on the open market can be worth up to $750,000. And that's the only thing they've got. And there's guards everywhere to escort you because there's so many territories owned by these drug gangs. And there's a woman there, and she had this big bag of coca leaves that she'd picked. They do it quite openly because they haven't got anything else to do. And they said, how much money will you make out of this? She said, not enough to feed myself. So you can imagine the huge profits that are made. And that's why, you know, it makes no difference to the drug smugglers. If somebody swallows 20 or 30 condoms full of cocaine, it bursts, you die. They've got somebody else around the corner who is equally desperate. You know, they actually promise you $1,000 for getting this in there. They'll, you know, somebody else does it. They're called drug mules. And we've seen them on the television all the time, you know, when they get caught. We had those two girls a short while ago, didn't we? A few years back now. And they were caught bringing drugs in because somebody had said, oh, bring these things. And you think to yourself, are you mad? These drugs kill people. Really, it's too dangerous, too dangerous. Anyway, listen, nice to have your company. Beginning of a very busy week. I was listening to David Lammy yesterday. He was doing, in fact, he must have been up in conference in Liverpool, actually. It sounded like he was up in conference and chatting away to people. And then people were phoning up saying, oh, Keir Starmer's useless. And he was going, no, he's very good, you know, very good. And then there were other people saying, oh, you know, Kwasi Kwarteng has got it all wrong about, you know, giving all this money away. And Labour have said, if actually they get into power, they're going to change it. And then Kwasi also came up with they're going to drop the, is it IRS 35? This... Yes, IR35. And I thought, what? We've only just gone through the hell and damnation, as everybody will tell you, to sort of sort it out. This is where you go from being self-employed to being not self-employed. And it provoked, literally, there were so many mistakes on it. So many mistakes. And a friend of mine said, yeah, it's being dropped. Have you ever found it? It's amazing, really, because you think, now, what's going to happen now? Does that mean we all go back to being self-employed where we were? Or is it up to the different companies? Because I think it's an absolute nightmare. I mean, I remember my accountant had to have a chat with Global's accountant to explain what it was. It wasn't their doing. It was to do with the HMRC. And so I thought, what, they're going to change it back again? Oh, God, no, please. I'd have a heart attack, I think, because it took so much effort to do it. And then we had to pay this much money and that much money. And then all of a sudden the company... So the company pay you, you invoice, but as opposed to them paying you... Oh, it's very complicated, I know, but it is going to be dropped out. You know, it's one of those things. It is. Yeah, I know. It is really bizarre. But then Labour have said if they get into power, they're going to change what he's just put into practice. And I'm thinking, what a bloody cock-up. What a cock-up. Really, really bad. But we'll wait and see, shall we? And then you can decide, based on that, who you're going to vote for, if indeed we even get as far as an election. And then people phoning up saying, oh, I am a Labour supporter, but I won't be voting Labour this time around because I can't stand Keir Starmer. He's not strong enough. And then because they'd had old Michael Lynch on, you know, from the RMT, people saying he should be the one for Prime Minister. But all the people phoning up saying that were like, I think he'd make a better Prime Minister. As I say, the last guy who was on with Andrew Castle the other day, I forget where he was from, but I mean, he sounded like really ancient. He hated everything. Hated the fact that the Tory government, well, he hated the Tory government. He didn't like what they'd done to the hospitals, what they'd done to the schools, what they've done to this, what they've done. In fact, there was nothing. He must spend his entire life sitting there sobbing into the curtains. I can't think of anything else that would apply to him. I listened to him and I thought, God, you're just really unhappy. Be happy. Think positively. And... I always find it amazing that people get... It's like football fans. They get so carried away with the whole thing, you know, yes! And you think, oh, grow up. Goodness sake, honestly. Anyway, have a lovely day. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at the same time. Until then, stay safe.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC.